And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Tom, we now say goodbye to summer rainy season.
We had one last gasp last night, but it was not enough.
Well, three straight nights up at the Buckmaster Hacienda, there has been measurable rain, but of course, it is not the official rain gauge, the Buckmaster gauge. If it was, we'd be number one for the summer rainy season for sure. Anyway, it's Buckmaster in the green thing, Zilkalo Village Studio. We thank them for the naming rights to our studio here at 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. Can't believe it. 11 full years will go into the books at the end of this year, and we'll begin year 12 on the radio here in Tucson after 22 years over on the TV. So a lot of water under the bridge. Worldwide live listening and podcasts for our program at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We like to do a Friday shout out to our media partners, and one of those media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, the founder, editor, publisher, general all-around good guy associated with Tucson Sentinel is Dylan Smith. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
Doing all right. Maybe opinions vary on the all-around good guy bit, but thank you for that.
Yeah, some... well, in my relationship, I would say all-around good guy,
well,
but
you.
There are some people probably that would really challenge that.
Well, there are some politicians and bureaucrats who have a few things to say when they see my name pop up on their phone.
Yeah, there you go. Also, Dan Scheer, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Thanks, Dan, for all your support. Jim Ninsel at the Tucson Weekly, and Jim's part of the Tucson Local Media Group. They support our program. Let me quickly list their publications: Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Joining us in studio is Tim Tomier. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Tim is now, as of Tuesday, we can drop the interim. He is the assistant city manager for the city of Tucson, overseeing some very important departments. He's got public works, that function for the city, and that includes Tucson Water. He's got parks and rec, transportation and mobility, and there are a couple of others, right?
Sure. We've got housing, we've got planning, we've got anything that's interesting or touches daily lives, that's what we do.
All right. Well, you're doing a great job, so that's why they decided to drop the interim. Tim is currently pursuing a PhD in geography from the University of Arizona. His dissertation work is exploring the Arizona Drought Contingency Plan as a climate change adaptation strategy. And Tim knows a little bit about water and droughts and water management, because prior to this assistant city manager position, he was the head of Tucson Water, and you're still really active in that field professionally, right, Tim?
Yeah, it's really the comfort zone for me, so I get to still stay involved on state-level water policy and, of course, engaged with the daily operations of Tucson Water, but just from a different lens now.
Yeah, and general feeling about our summer monsoon, the rainy season. We were number three on the wettest summers since they began keeping records in 1895. We missed getting to the number two position, I think, by a half inch.
Yeah, half inch or less. It's really been a great monsoon season. What was really wonderful about it was not just a standalone monsoon season, but especially after the one we had last year, where we basically had a nonsoon. It was nice to have the old friend come back for a visit and really, really do great for the community. And of course, that really did a good job on reducing water demand in Tucson, which just means that our water supplies are even more resilient.
The drought contingency plan is kicking in after the first of the year. Agriculture will be primarily affected. I think they're taking about a 40% cut. Arizona's farming industry. Will any of us living in Pima County, consumers of water, will we be impacted?
There's no impact to Tucson or the Pima County area. The drought contingency plan put a lot of safeguards into place to make sure that when we went into a shortage that we were well prepared. And so there are no cutbacks for Tucson or for Pima County. And even the reductions to agriculture that you indicated, there are some what we called mitigation and offset programs that were built in. So there's actually some cities, including Tucson, that are working collaboratively with farmers in Pinal County to make sure that they have enough water to survive this next phase of the drought.
Hey, Dylan, join our conversation.
Absolutely. Well, first, congrats and maybe a little bit of condolences on the shorter title. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. More powerful of a gig you get, the shorter your title becomes. You're no longer the deputy assistant to the assistant to the deputy assistant kind of thing.
That's right. They just keep lopping words off and adding work on. It's
there
pretty
you go.
Exciting.
Yeah. Now you have a whole lot more to actually try and pay attention to and stay on top of.
But the nice thing is I get to go and dedicate electric buses and eat free donuts more often than I did before. So.
And you've got a half dozen buses, electric buses?
We've got seven on the street now and another five on the way. So, and that's really exciting times.
Yeah, go ahead, Dylan.
So my substantive question to get things going here, we have a drought. It's a pretty severe drought, very long lasting, a quarter of a century at this point, basically. You know, and this monsoon was nice, but didn't change that. Even though the drought contingency plan doesn't directly affect consumers, are there things we should still be trying to do to, you know, behave a little bit better in our water use? I think we use a whole lot less water than we did 30 years ago, even with so many more people living here. But can we still do better?
Absolutely. There's many things that consumers can do to continue to be more water efficient. And Tucsonans are doing that on a daily basis. Every time you update your appliances or you change out an old toilet, those things really add up. And that's where Tucson's really been able to bring its per capita water use down, and which is what we've needed to do and need to keep doing more so. Continue to convert that exterior landscape to xeriscape if anybody's still out there rocking a lawn, you might want to think twice about the future. So while we're well prepared, you can never be over prepared for something like a drought. And we also need to be thinking in terms of drought implies a departure from normal that's drier. And when we look at climate impacts and the way the Colorado River Basin especially is going to perform in the future, this might be a typical rainfall or a typical long-term water supply, and we need to adjust accordingly.
Whatever happened to Beat the Peak?
Pete is still around, so Beat the Peak is...
His uniform still around as well?
He is.
Slip it on.
And we do periodically get new heads for the Beat the Peak uniform. Actually, I just saw him on last Saturday. Tucson Water had their employee appreciation picnic out in Ward 4, Pete made an appearance, and I got to play him in cornhole, so it was pretty good.
Right.
So let's talk about the two elephants in the room right now. The city and county relations are, some have said, kind of a new, maybe modern-day low point. It's all about water and transportation. Since we're talking about water, why don't we get your views on the situation with the higher water rates that will be coming to unincorporated Pima County residents. And the county, Mr. Huckleberry, the county administrator, has his legal team working right now, preparing legal action. If it does come to legal action, Tim, would the city, do you feel, have good standing in that type of a situation?
So since we are talking about an area that could have pending litigation, I'll just stick to what the city's done and the information that it's compiled. So the differential water rates are a legal mechanism. They're actually quite normal. And across the U.S., there's more and more cities that are taking a long, hard look at their role in the community and modernizing the water rates in some ways, including charging differential water rates. When you have folks who've benefited from a particular structure or institution, whether it was fair or not in the past, when they benefit from it, they're going to be resistant to the change. What the city is doing is standing up for what the city feels is the correct and right things to do from a water stewardship standpoint, and following industry practices and really normalcy on how you go about doing a fair and equitable rate structure. So we're very confident that we've done things correctly. We have high confidence in the information that we've put together at the direction of Mayor and Council, and that this is the appropriate action.
And the 50-year history that the county points to about an agreement over this water, what about that?
I've yet to see any agreement that indicates that there would be no differential water rates, and I've seen a lot of agreements between the city and the county.
So about differential rates, the issue here is charging people who live in the county, who don't live in a town or in the city of Tucson, who are Tucson Water customers, a little bit more. Why not go to a truly differential system where you charge people in various areas of town based on how much it costs to get water to them? There are people who live in the county who, you know, are kind of downhill. It's easy to get water to them. There are people who live in the city where you've got to pump water quite a long ways to get to their house. Why not completely kind of zone the whole city?
So there's been actions in the past where Tucson Water looked at charging rates based on the direct cost of service, usually based on elevation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, several differences between that situation and where we are today is, one, the basis for the differential rates today is not directly based on a differential cost of service, although there is a differential cost of service, and we can talk more about that. But it's about the ownership and non-ownership of the utility and the risk borne by the city, which is not equitably distributed across all customers. So that's really a policy-based decision. The other element of it is the way we deliver water today is not the same as it was in the 70s when we last did this. We used to pump all of our water locally from the ground and then move it uphill to wherever the customer was. So there was a very clear differentiation based on elevation of cost to serve a customer. The way we deliver water today is we import most of our water from the Colorado River. We recharge it and we pump it up over the Tucson Mountains, and then it flows down into the city and surrounding area, largely through gravity. So it's a bit more complicated than what I just painted, but it's not as clear cut as it was in the past.
Hmm. Let's save transportation for after we take the break. Dylan, what am I going to talk about next?
I'm feeling a little peckish. Are you peckish?
I'm always ready for something from Mona's Danish Bakery. Tim, you know I love Mona's Danish Bakery up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. If you were at Mona's right now, and I always tell people one of the most difficult decisions when you go into the bakery is you'll look at the case and then have to make that decision. Would you go with the chocolate croissant? Would you go with a piece of the Danish Kringle? Would you have one of their wonderful sandwiches on that European-style bread? What are you in the mood for right now, Tim?
For me, it would be the Danish Kringle.
You would go with the Kringle.
Why work your way through a sandwich on your way to the destination when you can go straight there?
And there might be a cookie for dessert or something, perhaps?
Or another Danish Kringle.
And
why not?
Dylan, what are you in the mood for?
I'm going to fight him for the Kringle, I think.
Okay. Tom, give me a thumbs up on the other side, or you can... What are you in the mood for, Tom? Open your mic. Yeah, what are you in the mood?
Chocolate croissant.
I thought so. And I'll second that. I could go with the chocolate croissant right now. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, they're open for breakfast, 6:30. They're open right now for lunch. I'm sure I'll be seeing Steve and the team up there this weekend. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. We'll pause. It's Buckmaster and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
On the Buckmaster Show, Tim Tomier is here. Tim is the interim city manager, dropped the interim as of next Tuesday. He will be the assistant city manager for the city of Tucson, overseeing public works functions of the city, including Tucson Water, Parks and Rec, Transportation, and Mobility, to name a few. Dylan Smith is with me in studio, editor, publisher, founder of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com in its 12th year. Dylan is president of the Arizona Press Club, immediate past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion stands for Local Independent Online News Publishers. And when Dylan started Tucson Sentinel, about when I started, he went first. Then I started the radio show a few months later. But when Dylan started TucsonSentinel.com with this idea of a kind of all online news service, it was kind of still rather like a novelty, but right now it's really become mainstream.
There are now, because of Lion Publishers and some other, organizations trying to help people rebuild the local news business, there are now hundreds of local news websites around the country, doing, not blogging about their opinions, but doing real professional reporting, digging into things and, chasing down the stories that some people don't want told. And that's really important as newspapers have declined. Right now, compared to 15 years ago, there are fewer than half the number of reporters in this country.
Wow.
Than there used to be.
Wow.
It's been a serious change, and it's just overall not good for democracy.
Yeah, I would agree.
When people aren't being paid attention to,
right.
They start edging up against lines, and sometimes stepping way mm-hmm. over them. Good bureaucrats like mm-hmm. this guy here, and politicians appreciate having press watching what's going on. It kind of keeps them on the straight and narrow, and we can talk about the good things that are going on as well as the bad things.
And before you showed up, Dylan, right as we went on the air, Tim was saying how much he looks to the Tucson Sentinel.
That was a secret, Bill.
So you mentioned you wanted to get into transportation, but I got another topic to hit real quick first,
sure.
If that's all right.
I'm game.
One of your newish responsibilities is looking mm-hmm. at housing. And right now, not just because the real estate market has gone crazy over the last 18 months, but for quite a while, the city's had a challenge for affordable housing. We're still a low-wage town, and rents are going up, mortgages are going up. A lot of people are having a really hard time trying to keep a roof over their heads.
You're right on, and this is an area where I don't like the word crisis because I'm usually talking about water. I'm like, just be concerned that we're not in a crisis.
Challenge?
But in the case of housing, Tucson has had significant challenges there. One could argue a crisis. We are trending in positive directions on a number of levels. One is the management and operation of the public housing function in Tucson is in much better hands than it was not too long ago. We are working on an economy in Tucson that is bringing that wage up and bringing in higher paying jobs, although it's never fast enough. But also the importance that's been placed on it by this particular mayor and council, and the fact that they're directing so much investment in affordable housing, not just direct dollars from local, but also a lot of the federal assistance that we've received, whether it's COVID-related or not, has been really focused into housing the houseless and or affordable housing challenges. And so in many ways, we are trending in a really positive direction. And it really is gratifying to become involved in an area that I really know little about, but I can help where I can, but also learn a lot in order to be able to help coordinate those functions. And I think the future's very bright. There's a lot of challenges ahead. By no means have we solved it today, but I'm more optimistic about it than I would have been 2-3 years ago.
Somewhat related to that, about a year, there were some serious problems getting out the rental assistance money, both going to tenants and to landlords. Is that moving a bit more smoothly now?
It's moving much more quickly. And what I will say is Tucson and Pima County was a very large bright spot for that, even when that assistance across the country or across the state was really stagnant, really not moving. Tucson and Pima County came together very quickly, put together a program, worked with private sector and nonprofits in order to mobilize that money. So, and we're on our second or third wave of it. So there was the initial CARES funding that was all spent very relatively quickly compared to our peers. And the new American Rescue Plan dollars are already being mobilized. So recently there was the Arizona League of Cities and Towns had their conference, and our housing director, Liz Morales, was on the panel, largely because of the success stories that she had to tell instead of the, here's where we're falling down. We were able to really show a path forward.
There's a protest going on downtown right now from some people who are, have some complaints about the process for the city and county getting out rental assistance, and just in general about housing equity and, the ability of people to afford a place to live.
Yeah, no doubt. We are still really working through a lot of challenges, and hearing from the community and hearing from collectively the community, but also individuals and their individual circumstances is really where we can affect change, is at that one-to-one level and solving problems.
You said that cooperation was a bright spot. There's another bit more of a shadowy part of that city-county relationship that Bill wanted to get into?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, I talked at the beginning of the show, we talked about the two issues that really seem to be separating the city and county right now. We've talked about water. Then there's the mayor and council threatening to drop out of the Regional Transportation Authority because Tucson, city of Tucson, is underrepresented on the RTA board. Tim Tom here, does the city want to be a good partner in the RTA?
Absolutely. The city wants to and feels that it has been a good partner on the RTA. And there's a distinction between the RTA as it stands now and going into its last phase.
Last five-year phase, yeah.
Correct. And then the discussion of a next 20 years or an RTA next. Mm-hmm. And while we're in the process of completing these projects, which are largely in the city now because the city projects were not front-loaded, they were loaded toward the back end, and we're looking at the challenges of the budget and the income relative to the cost of the projects, many of the stakeholders, their projects have already been delivered. The city is actually sitting here holding the bag with unfinished projects and hearing consistently there's not enough, maybe not enough money to do them. So that puts the city in one direct experience with the current RTA and has been voicing these concerns for years. Now, when we look toward a moving forward with the city being unheard, and then the city understanding that we provide over 50% of the income, we should be looking at an equitable distribution of the benefits, and not being able to have a conversation convened until quite recently with the other partners. I think one can see why that the city is trying very hard to express what it means to be a good partner, trying very hard to express its really valid concerns on the current and proposed future RTA, and just seeking to have a conversation about it. But without some threat or some willingness to go on our own, nobody was paying attention to us. So now I think we've got some attention, and hopefully our regional partners will step up and listen first, seek to understand, and then we can find a way forward.
The way the RTA is structured right now, every local government that takes part gets one vote on that council. So South Tucson has an equal voice with the city of Tucson.
That's correct.
Marana, Oro Valley, each of the tribes, they get a vote. Everybody gets one vote. It seems like the mayor is pushing to have a representation that breaks down, that would almost give Tucson like veto power over everybody else based on the amount of money that we put in. Is that an approach that would be tenable, really? I mean, that's a political question. So,
I don't know what the perfect model is for how you assure that all the folks at the table have their interests addressed. What I can say is, if the proof is in the pudding, and if the largest entity that represents the most folks and represents the most money into the program is feeling like their needs aren't being met, then we have a fatal flaw. On the flip side, you also have to have the trust from others that it won't be just the gorilla in the room that gets everything at once and there's nothing left for anybody else. So there's governance structures that facilitate a movement towards something that all would be able to accept and that the city would feel is actually equitable. So I'm confident we're going to get to a point where the regional and the benefit to all will overcome this interim period where not everybody's feeling that they're being heard.
All right, let's go to Robert. Robert called us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, 790-2040. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Bill. With regard to the rent relief programs, they are processing those claims for assistance, but they're not interested if you say you're going to get evicted. They want a 5 or a 30-day notice to start your application, but it takes 8 weeks to 3 months to get the money. So how do you model that out as being successful or helping in any way?
Okay.
That's a fair question, and I don't have the direct experience where I've been in that position where the assistance is not coming at the time I need it to prevent the impact. So what I can say is the money's been allocated and made available. And I know we've been working with partners on the processes to distribute it as quickly as we can, or as quickly as people are willing and able to apply for it. And so I, from a success standpoint, that's how I'm defining it, is that we've taken down as many barriers as we can to liberate the money and make it available to the community. The specific circumstances that you're speaking to, I'm not aware of evictions that have occurred that would have been prevented had the money flowed faster. If you have that experience or that information, I would encourage you to submit that so that we can make sure that we're addressing that.
We are in a bit of a different situation now that all of the federal and state halts on evictions have expired. And that's not a case of there's, you know, that more time to try and, you know, basically keep somebody in their home and make sure that they the owner of that property isn't, you know, completely out of pocket for months and months and months.
That's a good other side of the coin, you know, statement too, is that there has to be a willingness in many of these programs for the landlord to participate as well, or maybe even the assistance goes straight to the landlord. And we know with our economy and our housing market, a lot of folks are making different decisions with their properties than they would otherwise.
Basically looking to raise the rent
or maybe even flip the property and into a developer. So.
All right. The city has had its own program that the voters passed in 2018. Was that a five-year program to upgrade parks, facilities, police, and public safety vehicles and infrastructure? Generally, where is that right now?
So there's actually two programs there. One is the Prop 101, which is the public safety and transportation one. That one, we've delivered much of the projects. We're on track to deliver all the things that were promised in that Prop 101. And we're actually looking at, 5 years seems like a long time until you're halfway through it and you realize there's just so much more to do. So we'll be having a conversation about what next with regard to the public safety and the transportation piece. Closely related, but a couple years later, was the Prop 407, which was the Parks and Connections bond package. That one's a little bit newer, but we're actually probably two-thirds of the way through the first phase. That was a longer-term commitment. And we've been delivering those projects as well. So when you look at the progress being made across the community, we have a tremendous amount of needs, but actually the community has voted to make these investments, and the city's been doing a great job of delivering them, and there's just a lot of work left to do. But you see, we just dedicated or just broke ground on a couple of new fire stations. I was in a meeting right before I came here talking about the new Southside Police and Fire Public Safety substation. And just last week, we dedicated a new dog park at Anza Park. It's a nonstop success stories at this point. And I think we've built a lot of momentum with the community.
We need to talk about 911 and the issues over there with morale, because if any of us pick up the phone and dial 911, we want service and we want to be in, and as we should. That's a fundamental tenet of service in the city. How's the morale? I know there was ombudsman, if you will, that kind of looked over it. What's the update on that?
So the 911 function is in a better place today than it was a year ago. Hmm. And there's a few elements to that. One is the leadership is in really good hands. When you want something done right, send in an interim. I used to say that, then they made me a permanent. So we have an interim
experience, right?
So Chad Kasmer is the interim director over there, uh-huh. And he came from from TPD, mm-hmm. And he's one of the city's best. He's one of our really genuine best talents we have. And he's really set an example and set a framework in place by which the 911 staff feel valued and feel that they have, that the future is better than the past. Mm-hmm. We are coupling that with a physical investment where we're in the final stages of building out a new 911 center. When that is complete, which is actually, it's going to be a complete imminent, and we're going to be transitioning from the current space mm-hmm. into the new space over this next 3 months. So mm-hmm. by January 1, we'll be operating fully out of the new center, which gives them the modern technology and the right setting to be successful. And then we're coupling that with, we just approved not too long ago, an additional $2 million investment in a training center dedicated to 911 functions. So when you look at the new employee coming in, they're mm-hmm. going to have a much better foundation for success. And when you look at the existing employee, there's hope for the first time in a long time. And that's both the physical investment, but also the culture that's being developed within that group.
When the mayor was with me about a week or so ago, she said that folks are going to be very happy. There's an agreement coming. It's intimate. It's right around the corner. it's on the Reed Park situation, and the mayor felt both sides are going to feel good about it. How close are we to this thing?
We're so close that at 3 o'clock today,
what?
We have a stakeholder.
Make your announcement.
Well, I can announce where we are and what we've come up with. And it's really been heavily driven by the public input. And I'll say I would have said the same thing in July when we came up with what we thought was a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. We laid it on the table, and boy, did it fall flat. We viewed it through our interpretation of the stakeholder input, what we thought were the highest values of the immediate neighbors, and we thought was going to be something that would be a resoundingly supported option. There were a number of things that were found to be lacking with it, and that meeting, while it was a positive meeting, it was 2.5 hours of not getting to where we needed to go. We were going to follow up that meeting with what we called a charrette to really just say, okay, working within this box, how can we make this better? In the meantime, we were also looking at just a new lens of that input and another alternative. So what it comes down to is the continuing input from the community was that they value the current open green space more than a promise of future open green space, even if that future open green space would be larger in acres or configured differently. The value of what we have now was outweighing the value of what could be.
Okay.
So we actually looked at a different configuration where we work entirely within hardscape, existing paved areas immediately adjacent to the zoo, and do the expansion there, and then work around and make it functional from there. That's what we've laid on the table. So actually, there's no secrets to it. We've put a memo out. Mm-hmm. We had to go back to mayor and council and say, this is different than what we were talking about, but would this meet your spirit and intent? And they all said, yes, that's actually the win-win we're looking for. When we meet today, I'm hopeful that by the end of the conversation, people will all be on the same page. Mm-hmm. We've all done this long enough to know that, you know, that may or may not occur, or there mm-hmm. may be some
hiccups.
Lingering concerns.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at. We have what we think really does meet that input from the neighbors.
And we're way over time, but this is important. The pavement, the expansion would be on existing asphalt right now.
That's correct. Yeah. There's two current parking areas that
yes.
would be used.
Yes.
And then we have to replace that parking, but that parking would go into our maintenance compound, which is a paved area, and then we
okay.
will consolidate and or relocate some of those mm-hmm. existing functions.
The duck pond stays.
We've had the duck pond and Barnum Hill preserved since May 4th,
okay.
if not sooner. It's just been a matter of kind of the goalposts keep moving, and we're just keep marching the ball down the field until we get to the end zone.
And Dylan, we are out of time, but I need this. I can't believe we've gone 3/4 of our show and we haven't talked about COVID. Generally, what's the percentage of employees now that look like they are vaccinated?
I would say my last looking at this, it was greater than 80%. Mm-hmm. It may have been closer to 85%. So we've actually relative. And that number did move up by about 10% from the time that the council moved forward with at the time, a vaccine mandate. You know, we're still navigating through all of the ramifications of that. But I would put it at 85%.
Okay. Tim Tommier, thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you, Bill.
Dylan, stick around. I'm only going to have a couple minutes
All
with
right.
you, but hey, that's better than nothing. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, a shortened segment with our guest news person today, and that is Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com. And it's shortened because we had a lot of ground to cover today with Tim Tomier, who will be in a few days assistant city manager.
You know, one of the interesting bits of news this week, really, there's nothing that unites people from left, right, and center, Democrats, Republicans, Greens, Libertarians, all over Tucson and Pima County, than really not liking Rodney Glassman very much.
Why is that? I personally like the guy.
I think there are a lot of people who feel like, you know, promises that they've been given were not followed through on, you know, yeah, to both political parties. And, Glassman very much has the reputation of wanting attention and being willing to spout any party line if it's going to, you know, raise his political profile and maybe get him elected again. So this week he decided to run for Arizona Attorney General.
As a Republican.
As a Republican. Okay. This is somebody who was, the only time he's been elected to anything was back in 2007. He got himself on the Tucson City Council as a Democrat,
right.
Resigned that seat to run for the Senate as a Democrat, yes. Won that primary, but, you know, of course, lost to John McCain.
But not to take, well, you know, you got to admit that that was quite an accomplishment that he at least was the party's standard bearer at a very young age for the U.S. Senate. I don't know. I'm going to guess here, 35 maybe,
Democrats say that he, you know, he comes from a very wealthy California family. And
from the Central Valley. Yeah.
He apparently promised to bring in millions to back his campaign and, the Democratic Party in general in the state. And then that didn't happen. So we kind of lost favor with a lot of Democrats. He's run for other. After he lost that Senate race, he tried to be the chairman of the Arizona Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. He's run for, who even remembers now? I mean, it's a pretty long list. I think about one of the few offices he hasn't run for is state mine inspector, because you actually need to have mining experience to file for that office. You're not allowed we'll see how this goes. He's very much aligning himself with Donald Trump. He featured photos of Trump as much in his campaign announcement video as he did his own face.
All right. He's in a four-way at least. I think there's at least three other candidates for Arizona Attorney General in that race. Dylan, going to have to leave it right there.
All right.
Direct everybody to TucsonSentinel.com. You have a 2-for-1 match still going on your fundraising?
Not quite kicking off. That's a year-end thing coming up soon.
It's coming.
I will say real quick on the Rodney Glassman thing.
Yeah.
Our columnist, What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist, Blake Morlock, worked on Rodney's Senate campaign. So he wrote a quick take, a pretty amusing piece about Glassman's latest
announcement. Is that up right now?
That's up right now, and
okay.
I think everyone will get a chuckle out of it, except for maybe Rodney.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. Have a great weekend.
You.
Weekend Watch next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
And away we go with Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to take that road trip. Pile in the car or the truck, do the 3-hour drive over to Silver City, and the weather is perfect. Low 60s during the noon hour right now over there. It's going to be a great weekend. Overnight lows, upper 40s. Can't beat it. Gila National Wilderness looking so green and ready for you and your hiking. For things to do and places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, the longtime Buckmaster Show food and beverage correspondent and contributor of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, who is also the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing great, but you had me at upper 40s in Silver City. I mean, boy, fall is here.
Yes. And when fall comes around, everybody wants to do a food festival. The weather's great, and we've got one this weekend, don't we?
Yeah, you absolutely got it. You know, they say come for the delicious food and stay for the sunsets. It's the Picture Rocks Food Fest, sort of West Tucson's biggest food event, and it's today from 4 to 8 p.m. at 6780 North Sendario Road. You're going to have a wide range of delicious dishes to choose from, made by our fellow foodies, which are going to pair beautifully with what should be a gorgeous sunset. Just be sure to bring some lawn chairs or a blanket, as well as the kiddos for a fun family affair. The Picture Rocks Food Fest, it's on the southeast corner of Picture Rocks and Sendario Roads, just behind the Dollar General store, but just follow your nose. You'll be sure to find it.
Breaking food news. New cocktail menu. Where?
Yeah, you know what? You know, the changes in season kind of inspire new menus from local chefs, but the same is true with our mixologists who really love to play with seasonal ingredients when stirring it up, baby. So to answer your question, Oban, that great sushi restaurant on 4th and Congress downtown, they're a good example because they're just as well known for their spirits as they are for their seafood. So check out their seasonal cocktail menu, which launches this weekend for the flavors of fall. There's a libation there called Because I Got Chai, and this is made with rye whiskey, Madeira wine, a chai reduction, and orange bitters. Sort of a seasonal take on a Manhattan. You're going to find this and other fall-centric cocktails starting this weekend at Oban.
Hey, what is this I'm hearing about Trail Dust Town and how long it has been around in our community?
I did a double take. I actually had to go back and do the math. Believe it or not, Bill, Trail Dust Town, that super fun, iconic Western-themed park on Tankerville Road, they are turning 60 years old this weekend. So you need to giddy up over there tomorrow from 5 to 9 p.m. for their big 60th birthday bash. They're going to be serving up vittles and pouring drinks outdoors all around Trail Dust Town. Plus, there's going to be a petting zoo, amusement rides, live Wild West shows and music. And of course, there's going to be plenty of shopping at the town's trading company, the Chocolate Depot, and other retail outlets. So scoot them Buckmaster boots over to Trail Dust Town tomorrow night and help them say happy 60th.
Hey, and I can announce that you're going to be hosting the Buckmaster Show while Ann and I are over in Santa Fe. I think it's Wednesday, the 13th, I think, of October, but that's going to be coming down the road. We'll look forward to that, Matt.
A full hour of local food and beverage news. I cannot wait, Bill.
All right, have a great weekend. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Mr. Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Have a great weekend, everybody.